welcome to the programme. We have an exclusive interview with Lifetime Achievement Award recipient Mariel Barnett. Hello, Mariel. Welcome to the programme.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that I could be here, and thank you for asking me.
Before we look back on your career, Mariel, tell us what it means to you to win the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, it was such an honor. I was so totally surprised by it, and I'm just thrilled. I just puffed all up about it. It was to be recognized in that way, and it, you know, it wasn't anything that I even dreamed about, so it was particularly a glorious thing for me.
Well, we want to look back at what obviously has been a glorious career. How did the horses start for you?
Well, I think I was born with a love of them. I rode my first horse. My aunt put me on a horse at 4 years old, and I fell off, probably hit my head, and that was it. But she had me get right back on, and of course I did climb back on, and it's been that way ever since.
Obviously, you got that bug at a very, very early age then. So were you competing as a child?
No, I wasn't. My father bought me an older horse when I was 8 years old, and it was supposed to be 8, but I'm sure it was about 28 because he died supposedly when 12 years old. So I imagine he was either probably 32 or something like that. But then, I rode horses at boarding stables as I was growing up with no formal lessons. Then, I went through the high school years. That kind of took me away from it because the interest in boys came up, and then I went off to college, and then I got married and had children. The first time that my husband and I had enough money to do something extra, at that time, fur coats were all the rage. And he said, "Would you like a fur coat?" And I said, "No, I'd rather have a horse, please." That kind of started it.
Where did the love of dressage begin then, Mariel, for you? Was it at those very early days, or was it something that grew on you?
No, I didn't know anything about it. This would have been probably 1961. I saw Chuck and Carol Grant ride at the Michigan State Fair. I saw that and I thought, oh, that's beautiful. I want to do that. That's kind of where the interest started. Then I moved back home. When I got back home, I looked up the stable that I rode at as a kid, and they were doing dressage, and I went, oh, this is perfect. So that's how it started.
Was this all in the north for you, in Michigan?
Yes, and that would have been in the late 60s. So there was quite a gap there where I really didn't have any formal training until I moved back to Lansing, Michigan.
Now, who did you train with then in those early days, Mariel?
I trained with Jim and Sharon Rowe. It was his stable that I rented horses at as a kid. So when I moved back to this area, I, of course, looked them up, and they were in it. I went, I want to join you. And that's where I started taking serious lessons.
And what were you riding at the time?
I bought a part Arab part, I don't know what the other part was. I was riding most any kind of horse. I had a saddlebred. I had a Tennessee walking horse. Yeah, I would ride just about anything.
So what was it that fascinated you then about dressage and motivated you to want to learn more?
Well, it was the beauty of it and the communication that you could do with your horse. It was different than I'd done some showing like Western and some saddlebred and stuff like that where you just go around and around the ring. And I thought there's got to be something more to it. I want to be able to do those movements and teach the horse to do things with me.
When you were beginning then, were you very career driven? I mean, were you competitive and wanted to get into the show ring as soon as possible?
I don't think so. You know, we would show as a stable, and it was more the camaraderie of it. Oh, I love to win, but it certainly didn't happen very much at first. It was pretty deplorable. I wasn't very good. I had to unlearn a lot of just survival techniques that I had done by just jumping on a lot of different horses without any training, so I had quite a hard time to go. And of course, I started it in my late 20s, early 30s, so it wasn't that I had done dressage. I didn't have any fear of being on a horse, and I had pretty good balance, and I could stand most anything at that time. But I can't say at first that the showing was a driving thing. But as I got into it, I wanted to be better, and it was a test, and I did enjoy the winning.
So you became more ambitious, did you?
Yeah.
And from the, obviously being inside the arena, you decided that you also wanted to be effective outside and began officiating and judging and so on. What inspired you to do that, Marion?
Well, at first, I didn't have a lot of money, and at first, the education that I could possibly get, I couldn't go to Europe, and I couldn't really afford to go anywhere, but the judges' forums would come into the area, and at that time, they would allow spectators, and they'd allow people to come and watch, and my husband and I would come and watch the judges' forums, and so I did a lot of that, and when the training program, and it was one of the very first training programs, became available, I went through it. Not so much, I don't know that I, it was more for the education. I didn't pass the first time I went through it. And I shouldn't have passed. I didn't have the experience. They said, well, I needed more experience. So I thought, well, I think I'll do this. I think I'll get more experience and do it. It was as if each step I took enticed me to go to the next step, rather than maybe having that long-range goal. As I was able to do one thing, then I thought, I'll do this. And then as far as the instructor certification program, that all started with the Vi Hopkins seminar in 1979. My husband at that time was involved in the politics and then going to the USDF conventions. He had gone that year and he came back. He told me that Vi was going to have this seminar for dressage instructors and that I probably should go and see if I could get into it. And I applied and I was taken in and it just grew from there.
Well, you were then you were riding and then you began officiating, but you were also instructing, weren't you? Where did that interest come from?
Well, that came from the stable that I was at with Jim and Sharon Rowe. They were teaching a class through Michigan State University called Classical Horsemanship. In that class, they had a whole program, and it was made up of practical sessions, which were the riding, but also lectures and demonstrations. And they needed people to do those things. And that's actually where I first started teaching. And at first, it wasn't really teaching. We just had to make sure that the school horses didn't all come into the middle of the ring and stop, and so we'd have to lead them back out. So that's how I started teaching, and then they would give me a few students to teach, and that's how that grew. I was teaching at that stable, and then at about that time, a little bit later, that's when the Vi Hopkins seminar made itself available to me.
Well, then you developed an interest in the Dressage Foundation and was elected to the board there. Why were you so keen to become involved with that? What was the driving force behind that, Marion?
Well, I would say the driving force behind that for me was Lowell Boomer. He was such an inspiration, and he asked me to be one of the founding members of the Dressage Foundation. And I thought, oh, what a wonderful organization. Here's an organization that is going to give back to the dressage world. And that's how I got interested in that. I'm just looking at my plaque right now, and it says 1992.
So obviously you were very invested in the future of the sport as well and willing to give so many hours of your own time to volunteering. This, of course, is very important to the sport. We rely on volunteers. But What's your philosophy behind that, Mariel?
Well, I feel as though in the beginning of my career, I took a lot from the dressage. Things like the Vi Hopkins Seminar was made available and the educational things that were made available to me. Like I said, I didn't have a lot of money, so I had to do things that were usually close by me or were not terribly expensive. And the USDF provided those, that education. So I was taking at that point. As my life went on and I was able to make a living from my sport, it just became very important to me that I give back. I think part of that was the influence of my father, because that's the way that he felt. And I saw him doing that. And I was thinking about that the other day, that has to be such a strong influence when you see your parents doing something.
Did they have a love of horses then that rubbed off on you?
No. Mine came out of nowhere. If I would be sleeping in the back of the car when we were taking the trip, if they wanted to get me up, they would say, "There's a horse." I would jump right up. But no, they didn't. They supported me. And my father, like I said, bought my first horse when I was 8 years old. He was a passionate golfer, and he realized that with something you have a passion in, I believe it helps develop you as a person.
Did you pass on your love of horses to your children at all then, Mariel?
Yes, well, my daughter really loves horses, and both of my children love animals. My son, not so much. He was into motorcycles and things like that. And then the one time that I did get him on a horse, when the horse started trotting, he fell off and hurt his mouth really bad. I think he knocked his teeth out in the front, if I can remember right. So, no, he is supportive of me. But my daughter really loved the horses. And the horse ended up being my main horse that I took to Grand Prix was a horse that I bought for her. And then she went off to college, got married, and had children and everything. So just went away from it. But that's how that all started.
Well, you've divided much of your time, as you said, to judging and to officiating and obviously teaching as well. Of all those roles that you've played in the sport, Mariel, which do you most feel strongly about? That you know, if you had to choose one, which one would it be?
That would be very, very hard, because I think that each of those interests or avenues develops a different part of you, and I think I really like the whole combination. I plan on keeping it that way, as you know, as long as my health is all right.
And what is a typical day in the life of Mariel Barnett now?
Well, I do not ride anymore. So a typical day is I get up in the morning and usually do what I call my office work, do my email, that kind of thing. And I teach lessons, and that schedule is quite varied, because at this point, my little niche in teaching is by doing small clinics or going around to people's barns. I think that people really appreciate that they don't have to haul their horses, that somebody will come to them. I will teach anywhere from one lesson to up to 8-9 lessons at any one barn, and I have those all scheduled out. My days now I have a little more variety in them because I'm not riding anymore. In the summertime, I'm an avid gardener, and I enjoy working at my computer.
So when you look back in the rearview mirror, Mariel, what would be those standout milestones for you?
Well, I'll tell you, winning the Lifetime Achievement Award was such a thrill, absolute thrill. And then the other milestone that was sort of like my 15 minutes of glory was I rode my horse Cricket at the very first Inselco finals. Those were the national finals. I don't even remember what year that was, but they were in Oklahoma City. And I was reserve champion at third level. That was a pretty big deal for me.
If you have to create a legacy, what would that be for future generations? What would you like your legacy to be?
I would like my legacy to be that when I teach, and I teach young people, I feel as though I have an opportunity to be a good role model to them, and to see that through giving back, how important that is, and developing a good philosophy working with horses, because that same philosophy goes over to your relationship with people.
Well, congratulations again, Mario, for winning the Lifetime Achievement Award, and enjoy the sport for many years to come.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's very special. I am so fortunate to have a life and to have a life where my work is something that I totally enjoy. Oh, can I tell you one other little story?
Of course.
Okay. My granddaughter a few months ago asked me, she said, "Grandma, why don't you retire?" And I said, "Why should I retire? I'm doing what I love to do. I think that I would just dry up if I retired. I know when we have these bad winter months and sort of stuck inside for a while and go, oh, I need to get out and teach. I need that interaction, that something to look forward to every day."
Well, Mariel clearly is an inspiration to young and old. And congratulations to her once again for winning the Lifetime Achievement Award. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.